मसालेदार और ड्राई फ्रूट्स, लोकल फ्रेश फूड। दो लोकेशन 20 क्लिंगन ड्राइव इन ब्रैम्पटन, इसके साथ आपको सेकंड लोकेशन मिलेगी एयरपोर्ट एंड सेंट्रल रूट इंटरसेक्शन पे, नोबल फ्रेश फूड।
ਇੰਨਾ ਸੋਹਣਾ ਕਰ ਲਿਆ ਹੁਣ ਅਪਲਾਈਂਸਿਸ ਵੀ ਸਟੇਨਲੈਸ ਸਟੀਲ ਦੇ ਹੀ ਚਾਹੀਦੇ।
ਹਾਂਜੀ, ਸਟੇਨਲੈਸ ਸਟੀਲ ਦੇ ਅਪਲਾਈਂਸਿਸ ਮਿਲਣਗੇ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਬ੍ਰੈਮਟਨ ਟੀਵੀ ਐਂਡ ਅਪਲਾਈਂਸਿਸ ਤੇ, ਜਿੱਥੇ ਫ੍ਰਿਜ, ਸਟੋਵ, ਡਿਸ਼ਵਾਸ਼ਰ, 3 ਪੀਸ ਕਿਚਨ ਬੰਡਲ, ਇਸ ਤੋਂ ਇਲਾਵਾ ਫਰੰਟ ਲੋਡ ਵਾਸ਼ਰ ਐਂਡ ਡਰਾਇਰ, ਐਨਰਜੀ ਸੇਵਰ, ਐਨਰਜੀ ਸਟਾਰ, ਤੇ ਟੀਵੀ ਸੈਕਸ਼ਨ ਵਿੱਚ ਸੋਨੀ, ਸੈਮਸੰਗ, ਪੈਨਾਸੋਨਿਕ, ਸ਼ਾਰਪ, ਹਰ ਸਾਈਜ਼ ਤੇ ਹਰ ਬ੍ਰਾਂਡ ਦਾ ਟੀਵੀ ਵਿਦ ਦ ਲੋਐਸਟ ਪ੍ਰਾਈਸਿਸ ਇਨ ਦ ਟਾਊਨ, ਸਿਰਫ ਬ੍ਰੈਮਟਨ ਟੀਵੀ ਐਂਡ ਅਪਲਾਈਂਸਿਸ ਤੇ। ਬ੍ਰੈਮਟਨ ਟੀਵੀ ਐਂਡ ਅਪਲਾਈਂਸਿਸ, 801 Bowie Drive West, Brampton, ya call karo 905-450-2828, 905-450-2828.
Assalamualaikum, how are you today? I hope you're doing well.
Stick around to be inspired.
Welcome listeners, to another edition of Muslim Perspectives. This is your host Alim Ali, and today's selection from the Quran is taken from Chapter 22, verses 26 to 30. Let's listen as Abdul Basit Abdul Samad recites.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa idh bawwa'na li Ibrahima makana al-bayti alla tushrik bi shay'an wa tahhir bayti. وطهر بيتي للطائفين والقائمين والركع السجود وأذن في الناس بالحج يأتوك رجالا وعلى كل ضامر يأتين من كل فج عميق ليشهدوا منافع لهم ويذكروا اسم الله في أيام معلومات على ما رزقهم من بهيمة الأنعام فكلوا منها وأطعموا البائس الفقير ثم ليقضوا تفثهم وليوفوا نذورهم وليطوفوا بالبيت العتيق ذلك ومن يعظم حرمات الله فهو خير له عند ربه وأحلت لكم الأنعام إلا ما يتلى عليكم فاجتنبوا الرجس من الأوثان واجتنبوا قول الزور.
I seek God's protection from the rejected Satan. In the name of Allah, the Gracious, the Merciful. And call to mind when we assigned to Abraham the site of the house and said, Associate not anything with me and keep my house clean for those who perform the circuits and those who stand up, and those who bow and prostrate themselves in prayer, and proclaim unto men the pilgrimage. They will come to thee on foot, and on every lean camel, coming by every distant, deep track, that they may witness the benefits provided for them, and may mention the name of Allah during the appointed days over the quadrupeds of the class of cattle that He has provided for them. So eat thereof, and feed the distressed and the needy. Then let them accomplish their needful acts of cleansing, and fulfill their vows, and go round the ancient house. That is Allah's commandment. And whoso honors the things declared sacred by Allah, it will be good for him with his Lord. And the eating of the flesh of all cattle is made lawful to you, except that which has already been announced to you in the Quran. Shun, therefore, the abomination of idols, and shun all words of untruth.
Selection taken from the Quran is chapter 22, verses 26 and 30. On the line we have Ustaz Faisal Baksh. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ustaz will provide us with a bit of an elaboration on the meanings of these verses. Ustaz has a lifelong history of teaching and coaching Muslims in the theology and practice of Islam. He is also a licensed family counselor, assisting in resolving spousal issues and helping parents navigate raising children in this society. Ustaz, please explain.
Yes, with pleasure. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I begin in the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful. So these verses are pertinent for the season that is about to dawn upon us. That is the season of pilgrimage, the season of Hajj. The journey to Mecca and the surrounding areas during the days of the Hijjah, which more than likely will begin on Monday, God willing. One of the most important things that has come out of these verses and that really needs reflection is the sanctity of the sacred precincts of the Haram in Mecca. Not necessarily only the Kaaba, but the entire area. And God Almighty, in the revelation here, is indicating to Nabi Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam, may God blessings and peace and mercy be upon him, that when he was commanded, which was the first command, to establish the house or re-establish the house, the precinct, God Almighty said to remove all forms of idol worshipping, transgression, tyranny, immoral conduct, not associating other deities, which is called shirk, with God Almighty, and just make it purely for the obedience of God. So, and it was not only to these parameters be established at that time, but rather for all times to come. Unfortunately, what has transpired after was that idol worship took its root once again as the people who inhabited that area began to return to some of the old practices. But God Almighty is intending to highlight this. And this is very important. Why? Because as families and people embark now or plan to within the next few days, they have to understand that they're going to visit the sanctity and the sacred precincts of a place that God Almighty has spoken about in the Quran. And this is something that is foremost. Just a bit of background, the reference in the verse that indicates that God Almighty pointed or directed Nabi Ibrahim, Prophet Ibrahim, to this place, alayhi salam. This place was established by God Almighty to Nabi Adam, Prophet Adam alayhi salam. And the foundations were kept intact for thousands of years. The structure itself was destroyed during the flood of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. So God Almighty is calling the attention to Prophet Ibrahim, the location of the house. And it's indicated in the verses here that this should be free, like it's Baytul Atiq, which is the Arabic, that it should be free. One of the understanding is it should be free from the control of polytheists and idol worshipping. So the first command to Prophet Ibrahim was to rebuild this sanctified precinct and noble precinct of God Almighty. So when the Hujjaj, when the pilgrims are embarking, they have this intention. And there's a second that will come later, which I will highlight when we get to that point. The second command is this notion that it should be kept pure and free from idol worship and from existing idol worship at the time and subsequently. Although that second command was not carried out post Prophet Ibrahim many years after. So the command appears to be that Prophet Ibrahim is being directed to not associate partners with God Almighty, but it is not him that needs to be done. He needs to be the manifestation through which that happens. The third command in the verse was to make announcement for the pilgrimage. So after he completed the rebuilding, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam is commanded by God Almighty, announce the pilgrimage. And so there are many interesting narrations from the prophetic practice that Prophet Ibrahim, in this desolate and uninhabited place, he is being asked and commanded by God to make a proclamation. And so he turned to God and he says, well, there's nobody here. Who's going to respond? And God Almighty said, the proclamation is yours, but the call to be heard is going to be by everyone at that time who's living, and subsequently for all those who are yet to come. So in the narration, it mentions that Prophet Ibrahim put his fingers in his ears and turned towards each of the four corners saying, O people, God has established his house and made it obligatory upon you to make pilgrimage to it, to obey the command of your Lord. And so that call was made, and God Almighty allowed everyone to hear that call. It is very interesting, and this is again a scholarly understanding, that when the pilgrim arrives, just before they arrive into Mecca and the precincts, they are saying in Arabic, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik la sharika laka, Labbaik, etc. And the first part I want to focus on is Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. Here, O God, here I am. Here I am. And so they say that this is the pilgrim's intended response to the command and the call from Prophet Ibrahim, the command that God gave to Prophet Ibrahim to make this call. And so that's the second intention. As the Hujjaj, the pilgrims are arriving, they are actually responding positively, completely, wholeheartedly, submissively to the call that was made by Prophet Ibrahim. And so since that time of when Prophet Ibrahim was commanded to do this, alayhi salam, until today and until the day of resurrection, this is a living miracle. That even in the time of idol worshipping, when there were idols in the precincts of the sacred haram, the Arabs ensured that they still practice pilgrimage, which is very interesting, that it's actually a miraculous event. And this is something that the Hujjaj, as they embark on their journey, should also consider. That they are a manifestation of a living miracle. Then the verses highlight a number of things that I just wanted to mention, especially for those who are planning and who are going on the journey and who have been there previously. May God accept from all of them. And those who are planning in the future years to do this. That the great benefits, God Almighty highlight, the great benefits of this journey, undertaking this journey, it's actually a great spiritual awakening and elevation. We are one witnesses the majesty and the glory of the Supreme Deity through forgiveness, through repentance, through remembering with gratitude, that the Prophet remarked, peace be upon him, that you come back, if you do that with sincerity, if you do the rites correctly, if you do that with humility, not causing harm, then what happens, it is as if you are a newborn baby, in the sense that all the previous errors, mistakes, and sins will be wiped clean. So we see from this, God Almighty saying that this is their great benefits. In other verses of the Quran, God Almighty mentions that remember God Almighty during the days of God, during the days of Allah, Ayyam Allah. And many of the Mufassirin, many of the interpreters of the Quran says, these are the days, the first 10 and even more, because the 3 days after Eid al-Adha, the next 3 days are also very important days. The entire month of Dhul-Hijjah is a sacred month. And so the opportunity is that as one embarks on the journey, to be of those who remember God Almighty much with gratitude. And if one is able to do this without causing harm, and harm here doesn't mean fellow human being, it could be harm for animals, harm to insects, and so on and so forth. There's a whole set of guidelines as one is embarking on this journey, what is to be observed, the state one should be in, both outwardly and inwardly, the hope and prayer towards the mercy of God Almighty to be accepted as an act of devotion and act of worship. And in essence, although very subtly, some rites of the Hajj or the pilgrimage are highlighted, like tawaf, like slaughtering, being in a state of ihram, coming out of the state of ihram, remembering God Almighty on all occasions, supplications, prayer, and all these things. We see them amalgamating into a significant pillar of the religion, which is to make the pilgrimage at least once in a lifetime, if one is able to afford it and be capable of managing such a journey. So we have this reminder in the Quran in these days that we wish those who are going the best. We lift from them any wrong they have done towards us. We lift it from them, whether they ask or not, but intentionally we should do that. But it's the habit that those who are undertaking the journey often call people and ask for forgiveness and so on, because of this sort of mood that one is in to make this journey. And so it is a very pertinent reminder, preparing us for these great days that are to come. And even though we are not ourselves making the journey this year, and God willing, inshallah, those who have not made it, may God Almighty facilitate them responding to that invitation at some point in their lives, if they're able to do so. But also what is important is that we take this opportunity to reflect on our own lives, reflect on our communal conditions, our societal conditions, the condition of the world, and bestow and call upon God Almighty to bring about a change in what we see before us, where those who are sustaining wars and hatred and animosity and all those things, we ask God Almighty to lift it from them, because we need a world that is once again a place of peace, a place of solace, a place where we can enjoy relationships, not at a superficial level, but at a deeper level. And we see the utter destruction of humanity, the utter destruction of places where, people are just greedy and powerful and just going after more wealth and so on and so forth, and control and domination and tyranny and oppression over people, other peoples, and subjugating them to the horrific crimes. And so you know, these verses are an indication for us to begin to reflect and take time out from our busy schedules to imagine a new place, a new condition, and have a good memory of living lives that are worshipful, that are inspired by goodness, inspired by calmness, and inspired by God Almighty giving us a comforting situation where the world doesn't take hold of us and destroy us in the end. And we ask God Almighty to make us among those who will listen to His revelation, act accordingly, and bow our heads in humility and ask Him to elevate us as He would elevate the Hujjaj, the pilgrims, as they embark and return to their families. May God accept from them their pilgrimage and all their rights. Ameen.
Jazakallah khair, Ustaz. May Allah continue to preserve and protect you. Until next week, Ameen. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Inshallah. Walaikum salam.
All across ocean and land, incumbent on all men, is the pilgrimage to Mecca, fifth pillar of Islam. In the footsteps of Muhammad, the last prophet of Allah, bow down and praise Allah. First side of the Kaaba,
break down
and praise the path. This journey from afar to the city of Mecca, to strengthen what we believe in, the voyage we undertake. Hear the echo in the wind, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Bow down and praise Allah. First sight of the Kaaba. Break down and praise Allah.
Zain Bika and his track, The Journey. Ustaz, in his explanation, spoke about the sacred days of Dhul Hijjah, which presumably starts on Monday, depending on the sighting of the moon. Let's listen to Khalid Latif as he speaks about these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah.
He was a unique individual who gave of himself whenever he had the opportunity to do so. In these days of Dhul Hijjah, he made it a point to engage in individual ibadah, in individual worship, ritualistic practice, where he was remembering Allah Azza wa Jal, where he was reciting from the Qur'an, where he was praying his prayers, not just what was obligatory upon him, but standing in that which was supererogatory, that which he was just doing because he wanted to do it extra. He gave a lot in charity, he fasted on those days, he engaged in these kind of things because there were days that were auspicious. And even if we don't do it in the rest of the year, don't let these days pass without you doing it. Take advantage of the fact that if this is the first time that you're going to do it, make it with the intention that you make it something that you keep doing beyond that first time that you have done it. And even if you do it only this one time and you struggle doing it beyond it, do it to the best of your ability. But don't waste the opportunity, don't waste the time. Don't say that I'm going to wait for Ramadan to come, that is the point in which I will be someone who is rejuvenated emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Because there's other times of the year that Allah Azza wa Jal has given to us by which we could be better than we can even imagine if we sought to take advantage of them. And these 10 days are the days that have been told to us are the best of days. And within them we find that day that is most sanctified in our tradition, that day of Arafah. It doesn't take place at any other time. Logically, the best form of worship to do in these 10 days is the Hajj itself. Because you can't do it at any other point of the year. And if we are in this place where we are not going right now, we should make a firm commitment that if we have the means to go, and we have the ability, the physical health to go, then we should go. Because it's really not like any other experience you can imagine. Think about your gatherings. Think about what it's like when people come to your home. Think about who the people are that you let in to your most immediate proximity. Their conditions, their qualifications, that you won't just let anyone come and sit at your table, you won't let anyone come and sit at your house. But our paradigm is in sharp contrast to the paradigm of the divine. Because Allah Azza wa Jal, He lets the best of creation into that house, but He also lets the most wretched and the worst of creation into that house, and it takes nothing away from His majesty. And nobody ever questions it. And if you don't see it, and if you don't experience it, and the only reason that you're not letting yourself do so is because you feel you don't have to, or you'll just wait till later on, then you are kidding yourself. Because you don't know if you're going to make it to the next time. You don't know if you're going to have when you're 40 or 50 or you're 60 and that's it. And even if we justifiably have an excuse that says that I won't go there, what is the excuse that we have that would say that me being here and still having access to the things that I do, I won't observe the things that I can really easily do? Why won't you fast on the day of Arafah? What's going to keep you from doing it? What real reason would you have not to? Why would you not stand in some of those nights to ask of Allah Azza wa Jalla? What real reason would you have not to? Really, when it comes down to it, and I know the things that I'm able to do that will not only bring me direct benefit, but will bring benefit to the people around me, what is the thing? And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he recommends to us that most assuredly we should increase our actions and our deeds on those days. Do things for yourself in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Most assuredly do things for others in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And don't let those 10 days pass thinking that perhaps you might come upon them again because you don't know if it's something that will happen. There's a story that we have told before of an elderly man who he sees a young boy who looks as if he is going on a journey. And this elderly man, as he comes upon this young boy, he says to him that where is it that you are going? What is it that you are doing? And the young boy, he says that, Ya Shaykh, I am going to Allah Azza wa Jalla's house, I am going to the Kaaba, I am going to make that pilgrimage. And he says that, you seem to be saying something, what is this that is on your lips? And the young boy, he says that, Ya Shaykh, I am most assuredly reciting Qur'an, what else would it be that I would be saying? And he says that, where are your provisions, where are your resources, you are walking with nothing. And he says that, Ya Shaykh, if I was to go and visit anybody in their house, would I bring my own provision? Then why, when I am going to be with Allah Azza wa Jal, why would I then bring my own provision? And the elderly man, he says, you are so young. It must not be incumbent upon you to make this journey right now. Why are you doing it? And he says that, Ya Shaykh, I have seen many who are of a younger age than me pass away before they had the opportunity to make this journey. Why then, when I have the means to do so now, would I wait for a time that perhaps I would never even reach? Don't wait. Take advantage of what you have the opportunity to do when it's in front of you. Because you don't know if that opportunity will come again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and protect us. May He bless us with knowledge that benefits us. May He bless us with the tawfiq to understand and implement that knowledge into our daily lives. And may He guide and bless us all. Wallahu ta'ala alam wa billahi tawfiq. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuhu.
لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك برجي حاجي artinya menuju Allah yang esa membawa hati dan diri yang hina memberi hadiah kepada Allah berhati-hatilah menghadapnya setiap hamba pergi haji dengan segala yang baik yang baik, akhlak yang baik, harta yang halal, hati yang bersih, niat yang suci, amal mulia. Pergi haji, ilmu tentangnya mestilah ada, agar syarat dan rukun tepat
that's Rehan from Malaysia as they sang Labaik Allahumma Labaik, which means oh God, here I am, answering that almost primordial call to visit the house of Allah. And this is not a mere ritual, as we have explained earlier by Ustad. It represents the very purpose of believing in God and that Islam teaches. It's built on Tawheed, which is the oneness of God and therefore the oneness of all creation, purity, to sacrifice for others, truthfulness, service to humanity. A true pilgrimage is not only a journey of the body, but a journey of the heart away from ego, falsehood, and worldly pride towards sincerity and closeness to God. One of the things that left us was impactful is the summation of the mission of the Prophet in the last pilgrimage that he made. This next track is going to explain what he delivered in his last sermon at his last Hajj, and it's by Yusuf Islam, essentially, the core of it. Let's listen in.
The religion that had begun in ridicule and persecution was now thriving throughout the Arabian Peninsula. But shortly after returning to Medina, Muhammad received a premonition of his death. He told his daughter, Fatima, that every year during Ramadan, the angel Gabriel recited the Quran to him and asked him to repeat it. This year, Gabriel had asked Muhammad to recite the Quran twice. I cannot but think, Muhammad said, that my time has come. In February 632, Muhammad made what would be his final pilgrimage to the city of his birth. On his first pilgrimage, he had led a few hundred Muslims back to Mecca. This time, tens of thousands of believers followed in his footsteps.
He arrives in Mecca as the leader of the Muslim people now, not as the enemy of the Meccans. And they begin to perform the rites of the pilgrimage. And during this period, Muhammad defines the rites of pilgrimage as they're performed today.
At the culmination of the Hajj, on the plain of Arafat, on a small hill called the Mount of Mercy, Muhammad gave his final sermon.
Here's a man who began his mission as this individual in Mecca, persecuted with almost no followers, and his life is completed with a valley filled with tens of thousands of people that have accepted his message, and there he is preaching to them his final sermon, and in it, in a sense, is a summation of this universal teaching.
Under the scorching sun on the plains of Arafat, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered his final sermon. O people, listen to my words carefully, for I know not whether after this year I shall ever meet you again at this place. O people, your lives and your property are sacrosanct until you meet your Lord, as are this holy place, this holy day, and this holy month. Remember that you will indeed meet your Lord and answer for your deeds. So beware. Whoever of you is holding a trust, let him return it to its rightful owner. All usury is abolished. Your capital, however, is yours to keep. Wrong not, and you shall not be wronged. All bloodshed from the pagan age of ignorance is to be left unavenged. O people, the devil has lost all hope of ever being worshipped in this land of yours. Nevertheless, he will try to mislead you in smaller matters. Beware of him, therefore, for the safety of your religion. Time has turned, and it is as it was the day that God created the heavens and the earth. The number of months is 12. Four of them are holy, in which war and fighting are forbidden. O man, you have your rights over your wives, and they have rights over you. It is your right that they do not fraternize with anyone of whom you do not approve. But if they do, Allah has permitted you to isolate them within their homes and chastise them without cruelty. But if they abide by your rights, then they have the right to be fed and clothed in kindness. Do treat your women well, and be kind to them, for they are your partners and committed helpers. You have taken them only as a trust from Allah, and you have their enjoyment only by His permission. So listen to me in earnest, O people, and reason well. I leave behind me two things, the Quran and my example. If you follow them, you will not go astray. O people, listen to my words. Know that every Muslim is a brother to every Muslim, and that all Muslims constitute one brotherhood. It is only lawful to take from a brother what he gives you willingly, so wrong not yourselves. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then faced the heavens and said, Be my witness, O Allah, that I have conveyed your message to your people. It was then that some of the final words of the Quran were revealed.
اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا.
This day I have perfected your religion for you, and have completed my favor upon you. and have chosen for you as religion our Islam.
At the end of Muhammad's sermon, he does not list his achievements. This man has unified people. He has taught them monotheism. He has brought them to peace. And yet he doesn't mark these as his accomplishments. Quite the opposite. He asks his community, have I fulfilled my mission to my God and to you? You can hear in his words the desire for a completed mission. This is a man of faith who is unsure of his effects. This is a very human moment in which he needs to know and he asks. And the people affirm that yes. Three times they say, yes, you have fulfilled your mission.
This was not a leader who was looking for his legacy in time. It wasn't for any purpose other than to make sure that when he was going to face his maker, he was going to be accountable. And he would be in a position of saying, Allah, I did the best I could, and I hope I was successful in doing it. And that's all we can do as human beings.
Yes, that's a narration of the last sermon of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of God be with him, as he culminated his last Hajj in Mount Arafah. Let's listen to a bit of Ashiq Rasul. We are here.
We pilgrims take this journey, changing our destiny. We pilgrims take this journey, changing our destiny. Drawing closer to the Lord.
Ashiq Rasul, we are here, and Hajj is supposed to be a transformative journey for the individual, where all these attachments we have in the world is put into proper perspective. Let's listen to a bit of a documentary, a glimpse into the transformative role of Hajj.
I'm in the Arabian Desert, home to one of the great pilgrimages in the world, where for thousands of years, people have come to answer the call of Abraham and celebrate the worship of one God. Coming to Mecca on the Hajj is a duty and privilege for all Muslims.
I don't want to get distracted by the crowd.
I truly was alone with God in a sea of 5 million people.
Muslims make up almost a quarter of the world's population, 1.5 billion people.
One of the five pillars of Islam is that each able-bodied believer is called at least once in their lives to make the Hajj, the annual pilgrimage that starts in the city of Mecca, today Saudi Arabia. The Hajj is the iconic pilgrimage on earth. Millions of people gather in one place for 5 days and strip themselves of their worldly possessions. Like many pilgrimages, the Hajj focuses on asking God's forgiveness for human failings. Tala Kuderi is an executive in higher education. This is really
the most important. So I want to be able to stay focused on the intention of why I'm there. Getting closer to God and asking for forgiveness and being fully in the present moment.
Pilgrimages, by their very nature, are about expectations. And what happens when those expectations meet reality on the ground?
We take our faith for granted. You know, the spread of this religion did not come easy. There was a big price that was paid by a lot of people. And we are standing here as a result of that. It's this feeling that there's something much bigger out there, and you are just a very, very small part of it. I feel like walking barefoot here just because maybe the Prophet might have stepped in one of those places, you know? It's such an amazing feeling.
Come into Mecca saying, Labbaika la sharika lak labbaik. Here I come, O Lord. All of them coming, day after day, like an army of believers. Walking into the center of a spiritual universe.
Mecca is Islam's holiest city. The population of 2 million can double or triple during the pilgrimage. The heart of the city is the Great Mosque. Covering almost 100 acres, its multiple levels and corridors are said to hold up to 1 million pilgrims at one time. At the center is the Kaaba, which the Quran says was built by Abraham and Ishmael. Muslims consider it the house of God on earth. On their first night in Mecca, pilgrims make the ritual known as Tawaf, circling the Kaaba 7 times, as instructed by Muhammad.
When we came here, it was after a 6 or 7 hour bus drive, so, and we were in our ihram. So it was tiring. But when you get your first view of the Kaaba, it's just beautiful.
It was a lot harder than I thought it would be. These are large circles. I think it must have taken us 2 or 3 hours to walk around the Kaaba 7 times. You know, we were barefoot, and it's marble floor. It's slow, and you're bumping up against people.
There are some pinch points where the crowd gets really intense. We're just sort of in tune with each other. It's really fine. But then there's that person who panics because they've lost contact with their partner or something.
And they start
try to get
fast,
through fast or try
weaving.
To push their way through.
You feel the oneness and how small you are and that you're just a small part of the whole.
Part of the power of Tawaf comes from being surrounded by worshippers from scores of countries. Beyond contemporary politics, the story behind the Hajj celebrates women. Abraham, known in the Quran as a friend of God, is married to Sarah, who can't have a child. So she offers him her handmaiden Hagar, who gives birth to Ishmael. Sarah then gives birth to Isaac. Now there are 2 sons. Tradition says God instructs Abraham to take Hagar and Ishmael to Mecca and leave them in the desert. Hagar has faith. God will not allow us to be lost, she says. Abraham, back in Palestine, is said to turn and pray toward Mecca. Hagar, fearing for her son, dashes back and forth between 2 hills, desperately searching for water.
In the second big act of the Hajj, the pilgrims will recreate that journey, hurrying between two hills. Hagar and her son are saved when a miraculous spring bubbles up. Today, pilgrims drink from the purported source of that spring, now inside the great mosque. The water is called Zamzam. From the word stop, Hagar utters to contain it.
It's so gratifying and exciting to me that one of the main pillars of Islam is literally following in the footsteps of a woman. She and her son discovered the miracle of the Zamzam water, and that's a symbol of God's mercy for us.
The Great Mosque contains an enormous covered walkway stretching between two hills linked to Hagar. Pilgrims reenact the frantic search for water, moving back and forth seven times for a total of nearly 2 miles.
You're feeling the pounding of your feet, you're feeling tired, and you're thinking about that moment in time when she was running back and forth. And as a mother, all you really care about is your child. So that's a nice, it's a really gratifying part of Islam for me.
Yes, that's a brief glimpse into the transformative role of Hajj. One of the persons whom Hajj had the most profound transformation was Malcolm X, who performed Hajj in April 1964. His experience during Hajj profoundly affected his worldview. Seeing Muslims of all races worshipping together led him to rethink some of his earlier views on race and human relations. In letters written from Mecca, he described the brotherhood and equality he witnessed among Muslims from different ethnic backgrounds. The Hajj became a major turning point in his spiritual and intellectual life, influencing his later emphasis on universal human rights, international solidarity, Orthodox Islam, brotherhood across racial lines. He completed the pilgrimage only about 10 months before his assassination in February 1965. Let's listen to this letter that he wrote from Mecca, as is narrated by Akhi Abu Bakr.
Never have I witnessed such sincere hospitality and overwhelming spirit of true brotherhood as it is practiced by the people of all colors and races here in the ancient Holy Land, the home of Abraham, Muhammad, and all the other prophets of the Holy Scriptures. For the past week, I have been utterly speechless and spellbound by the graciousness I see displayed all around me by people of all colors. I have been blessed to visit the holy city of Mecca. I have made my 7 circuits around the Kaaba, led by a young mutawwaf named Muhammad. I drank water from the well of Zamzam. I ran 7 times back and forth between the hills of Mount Safa and Marwa. I have prayed in the ancient city of Mina, and I have prayed on Mount Arafah. There were tens of thousands of pilgrims from all over the world. They were of all colors, from blue-eyed blondes to black-skinned Africans. But we were all participating in the same ritual, displaying a spirit of unity and brotherhood that my experiences in America had led me to believe never could exist between the white and the non-white. America needs to understand Islam, because this is the one religion that erases from its society the race problem. Throughout my travels in the Muslim world, I have met, talked to, and even eaten with people who in America would have been considered white. But the white attitude was removed from their minds by the religion of Islam. I have never before seen sincere and true brotherhood practiced by all colors together, irrespective of their color. You may be shocked by these words coming from me, but on this pilgrimage, what I have seen and experienced has forced me to rearrange much of my thought patterns previously held, and to toss aside some of my previous conclusions. This was not too difficult for me. Despite my firm convictions, I have always been a man who tries to face facts and to accept the reality of life as new experience and new knowledge unfolds it. I have always kept an open mind, which is necessary to the flexibility that must go hand in hand with every form of intelligent search for truth. During the past 11 days here in the Muslim world, I have eaten from the same plate, drunk from the same glass, and slept on the same bed or on the same rug, while praying to the same God with fellow Muslims, whose eyes were the bluest of blue, whose hair was the blondest of blonde, and whose skin was the whitest of white. And in the words and in the actions and in the deeds of the white Muslims, I felt the same sincerity that I felt among the black African Muslims of Nigeria, Sudan, and Ghana. We were truly all the same brothers, because their belief in one God had removed the white from their minds, the white from their behavior, and the white from their attitude. I could see from this that perhaps if white Americans could accept the oneness of God, then perhaps too they could accept in reality the oneness of man, and cease to measure and hinder and harm others in terms of their differences in color. With racism plaguing America like an incurable cancer, the so-called Christian white American heart should be more receptive to a proven solution to such a destructive problem. Perhaps it could be in time to save America from imminent disaster, the same destruction brought upon Germany by racism that eventually destroyed the Germans themselves. Each hour here in the Holy Land enables me to have greater spiritual insight into what is happening in America between black and white. The American Negro can never be blamed for his racial animosities. He's only reacting to 400 years of the conscious racism of the American whites. But as racism leads America up the suicide path, I do believe, from the experiences that I've had with them, that the whites of the younger generation in the colleges and universities will see the handwriting on the walls, and many of them will turn to the spiritual path of truth, the only way left to America to ward off the disasters that racism inevitably must lead to. Never have I been so highly honored. Never have I been made to feel more humble and unworthy. Who would believe the blessings that have been heaped upon an American Negro? A few nights ago, a man who would be called in America a white man, a United Nations diplomat, an ambassador, a companion of kings, gave me his hotel suite, his bed. Never would I have even thought of dreaming that I would ever be the recipient of such honors. Honors that in America would have been bestowed upon a king, not a Negro. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Sincerely, Al-Hajj Malik Al-Shabazz.
That's Malcolm X's letter as he performed Hajj in April 1964. Until next week, I say peace out.
La ilaha illallah, no God but Allah. Muhammad Rasulallah,
Muhammad is the messenger of Allah.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah,
I bear witness that
there is no God but Allah. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulallah.
The preceding program may not necessarily be those of the owner or management of WTOR radio station.
ਕੀ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਵੈਡਿੰਗ ਰਿਸੈਪਸ਼ਨ ਬਰਥਡੇ ਪਾਰਟੀ ਯੂਨੀਵਰਸਿਟੀ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਖੂਬਸੂਰਤ ਹਾਲ ਲੱਭ ਰਹੇ ਹੋ? ਆਓ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਚੱਲਨੇ ਆ ਪ੍ਰੈਜ਼ੀਡੈਂਟ ਕਨਵੈਨਸ਼ਨ ਸੈਂਟਰ, ਨਵਾਂ ਔਰ ਖੂਬਸੂਰਤ। ਦੋ ਵੱਡੇ ਹਾਲ, 100 ਤੋਂ 600 ਤੱਕ ਮਹਿਮਾਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਗੁੰਜਾਇਸ਼, ਵੱਡੀ ਆਸਾਨ ਪਾਰਕਿੰਗ, ਸਭ ਤੋਂ ਖਾਸ ਗੱਲ ਸਵੀਟ ਮਹਿਲ ਦਾ ਲਜ਼ੀਜ਼ ਖਾਣਾ, ਤਾਜ਼ਾ ਖਾਣਾ ਤੁਹਾਡੀ ਤਕਰੀਬ ਨੂੰ ਚਾਰ ਚੰਦ ਲਗਾ ਦੇਵੇਗਾ। ਕਿਸੇ ਵੀ ਮੌਕੇ ਦੀ ਫੰਕਸ਼ਨ ਦੀ ਬੁਕਿੰਗ ਹੈ, ਕਾਲ ਕਰੋ ਪ੍ਰੈਜ਼ੀਡੈਂਟ ਕਨਵੈਨਸ਼ਨ ਸੈਂਟਰ ਦੇ ਸੁੱਖਾ ਜੀ 416-736-6820 416-736-6820।
Petro Canada pesh karde Juron heavy duty diesel engine oils hun full service savings naal 10W30 synthetic $20 discount, $5W30 $40 discount, offer limited time lay, $5W30 quick start aur oil flow thande mausam vich jeetu, $10W30 engine di karguzari nu banaye rakhda, QTL di tin locations te pujjo aur laab chakko, exit 268 Cambridge, exit 579 Napanee, exit 5 Fort Erie, Petro Canada aur QTL, बल्ले बल्ले अनूठा साक।
अपने प्यारों को पैसे भेजें लैम्पफाई के साथ, अब आसानी और एतमाद के साथ, बेहतरीन रेट्स और मुकम्मल सिक्योरिटी के साथ आज ही ट्रांसफर करें। लैम्पफाई LEMFI, साइन अप करते वक्त रेफर कोड E10 का इस्तेमाल करें और अपनी पहली ट्रांजैक्शन पर 100 या उससे ज्यादा भेजने पर $20 कैश बैक हासिल करें। और बस यही नहीं, अपने दोस्तों और फैमिली को भी रेफर करें और हर रेफर पर आप दोनों पाएंगे $20-$20। तो आज ही विजिट करिए lampfi.com, LEMFI.com।
ਟਰੱਕ ਸਰਵਿਸਿੰਗ ਖੇਤਰ ਵਿੱਚ ਓਂਟਾਰੀਓ ਦਾ ਮੋਹਰੀਨਾ ਕੁਇਕ ਟਰੱਕ ਲਿਊਬ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਇੱਕ ਟਰੱਕ ਚਲਾਉਣੇ ਜਾਂ ਫਲੀਟ ਹੈਗੀ ਜੇ ਤੁਹਾਡਾ ਟਾਈਮ ਵੈਲਿਊ ਰੱਖਦਾ ਅਪਾਇੰਟਮੈਂਟ ਦੀ ਲੋੜ ਨਹੀਂ ਫਸਟ ਕਮ ਫਸਟ ਸਰਵਡ ਸਟੇਟ ਆਫ ਦੀ ਆਰਟ ਫੈਸਿਲਿਟੀ ਟ੍ਰੇਨਡ ਟੈਕਨੀਸ਼ੀਅਨਸ ਰਾਹੀਂ ਬੈਸਟ ਹਾਈ ਗ੍ਰੇਡ ਆਇਲਸ ਫਿਲਟਰਸ ਇੰਜਨ ਦੀ ਜਾਨ ਵਧਾਉਂਦੇ ਹੋਰ ਕੀ ਚਾਹੀਦਾ ਤਿੰਨ ਲੋਕੇਸ਼ਨਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਤੁਹਾਡੀ ਸੇਵਾ ਕਰਦੇ QTL ਐਗਜ਼ਿਟ 268 ਹਾਈਵੇ 401 ਕੇਂਬ੍ਰਿਜ ਐਗਜ਼ਿਟ 579 ਹਾਈਵੇ 401 ਨਾਪਨੀ ਐਗਜ਼ਿਟ 5 QEW ਫੋਰਟ ਏਰੀ ਸਰਵਿਸ ਹੋਰ ਕੁਆਲਿਟੀ ਵਿੱਚ ਸਭ ਤੋਂ ਪ੍ਰਮੁੱਖ ਨਾਂ QTL 519-622-0660 ਜੋ ਆਵੇ ਸੋ ਰਾਜ਼ੀ ਜਾਵੇ
Canadian Society of Peace and Relief
and Green Dome Islamic Schools Project ke tahat
pesh karte hain mesmerizing spiritual Sufi Qawwali evening with Ali Zafar
Kalam jo aapki rooh mein hai
Salam mai bhujiye mat Paramount Fine Food Center 5500 Rose Cherry Place in Mississauga
visit ticketmaster.ca
sponsorship ya phir ticket ke liye call kijiye direct Amit Shamsi 416662 7861 या फिर 416904202